will forgive me, there's going to be a lot of reading in this segment only because it is what some places would breathlessly call breaking news. It's not breaking news. Is like, you know, something's on fire. Just because something just happened doesn't make it breaking news, but this did just happen. And that is a release from Governor Tony Evers about new ways to cut taxes, reduce barriers to employment, help working families afford rising costs, it says. Basically, it's in anticipation of brand new projections that are about to come out from the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, showing revenue projections, money coming in, will far exceed earlier estimates. And that simply means the economy is doing better in all sectors, but it's not doing better for everybody. And there are times that you could take when you have, what's the old saying? If you have $1,000 in the bank, but you have a hole in the roof, you don't have $1,000 in the bank. Well, there's other times when you have $2,000 in the bank and you'd better fix the hole in the roof before you find other ways to, shall we say, not use that money wisely. And that's the responsible path that Governor Evers is laying out here. So he's made that announcement this morning, showing that it looks like the state will end the fiscal year with a $5 billion surplus, the highest ever balance in state history, and the state's rainy day fund. By the way, that doesn't include the state's rainy day fund, which is also at its highest ever level of $1.7 billion. And I hasten to add, the rainy day fund was at its highest level ever in the early months of the pandemic, when people were so in need. And the legislature did nothing with it. They did less than nothing. They went home for 9 months on a paid break rather than do anything other than go to court to fight Governor Evers on pandemic safeguards and fight against ways to make voting safer in elections during a pandemic. So that rainy day fund is at a record level as well. So Evers is putting out a plan that builds on the plan he announced earlier that would cut taxes for working families and veterans and seniors. They would reduce gas prices by repealing the minimum markup. It would cap copays for insulin, and it would make childcare more affordable and provide a caregiver's tax credit. The quote from Evers in his release says, Wisconsin families have been through a lot over the past few years, and we know that while our state and our economy continue to improve, folks are still worried about rising costs and making ends meet. And if it were a drinking game, yes, you'd have to take a drink. He used the word folks in that sentence. He says, our state is in a strong fiscal position, and there's no reason that these dollars should just sit in state coffers when families need help now. We can help lower out-of-pocket costs for Wisconsinites today while providing long-term tax relief and still making sure we have readily available state resources to invest in our priorities in the next state budget. In anticipation of this, the governor is again renewing his call to use the state's $3.8 billion revenue surplus to provide a 10% tax cut for working families, restore the homestead tax credit to help seniors on fixed incomes, expand property tax relief for veterans with disabilities, and create the aforementioned caregiver tax credit. In total, Evers says the plan announced today provides over $600 million a year in relief now and into the future. And this would substantially exceed the annual tax relief under the governor's previously announced plan. And then it goes into the details of all these various things. But, you know, the one that stands out to me is that insulin copay cap. Release from the governor's office says that according to the American Diabetes Association, 439,000 adults in Wisconsin have diagnosed diabetes. An estimated 135 more have diabetes but don't know it yet. And 1.6 million Wisconsinites have prediabetes. A quarter of insulin users have said that cost impacted their insulin use, sometimes to the point where people are rationing their medicine, which compromises their health, risks serious health consequences, including death. This is the kind of cap that Congress put into the Inflation Reduction Act that Republicans had removed through the parliamentarian. So when Democrats tried to put it back in as an amendment, Republicans voted against the amendment. They voted against capping insulin costs. There's the caregiver tax credit that this would be a tax credit for qualified expenses incurred by a family caregiver. Nearly $100 million in relief would go to an estimated 250,000 Wisconsinites. And on the child care side of things, the newly created child and dependent care credit would move up from 50% of the federal credit to 100% of the allowable federal credit. This will provide nearly $30 million in tax relief to 107,000 Wisconsinites who are claiming the child and dependent care credit currently. These are things that, again, were proposed by Governor Evers, but rejected by Republicans in the legislature. And he's saying, hey, kids, how'd you like to try it again? Now that the surplus is even higher and you can have both tax relief, actual tax cuts, and you can help some of the families that are most vulnerable, which, as we discussed earlier in the show, is ever changing. Families on a dime can find themselves in some kind of a dire circumstance where they would benefit from a caregiver tax credit or a child independent credit or an insulin copay cap or the homestead credit. All of these things are things that can happen to families at any given point. And I always worry or just am concerned that there's too many people that assume the poors are, again, as some people like to call them, are like this monolithic block that are always there. It's always the same people. When we should know better than that. We should know that we all fall into circumstances or hard times. Just think of the better example, of course, would be natural disasters. How many times between flash floods, tornadoes, earthquakes, fires, have there been Americans, fellow Americans in need of help? And yet there are Republican members of Congress who have voted no to disaster relief to other parts of the country, who then have the audacity to seek out federal help when their area suffers from some kind of a natural catastrophe. It is a mindset that is still tough sometimes to comprehend in this day and age, especially from a faction of people that sure like to talk about religious values, religious freedom, and other certain aspects that invoke a sense of faith, but without the sense of compassion that should come along with it for your fellow man, woman, and child, whatever their religion, whatever their belief system. If they're in need and you have the resources and you're willing to help people who are more like you, why wouldn't you be willing to help other people who are in that kind of dire need? That's where we find ourselves right now, with recovering from a terrible pandemic, which of course is still going on right now, but from an economic standpoint, the economy is emerging, and there's ways to not waste the $2,000 in your bank account when there's a hole in the roof. I was so encouraged, and I was just telling Luke about what I saw over the commercial break here in the Washington Post. If you are on social media regularly, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. And for the rest, I will try to explain my best. But the headline says, how a photo of a woman yelling in a guy's ear became a viral meme. So it's the girl explaining meme. And Luke, have you only seen it, or have you actually used it as well?
See, I did not use that one. I used a new variation of it. There was actually a photo of U.S. Congressman Glenn Grothman and Republican gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so let's come back to that one.
So that was that was the iteration that I used, but I do know what you're referencing.
Yeah, so let's come back to the original iteration first, the girl explaining meme. And The poor woman in the photo, the young woman, her name is Denise Sanchez. And the article reads, over the past week, Denise Sanchez received a flood of texts letting her know her photo was all over Twitter. An image taken in 2018 of her seemingly talking passionately into the ear of her rather unamused ex-boyfriend has gone viral. It was, the article says, just a fleeting moment at a New Year's Eve music festival in Argentina, but has gained added meaning through each new post. It has become a template to shout about pop culture moments, air grievances, talk about the ending of Titanic, your take on the Marvel Universe, and anything and everything. And now apparently this had gone viral previously back in Sanchez's native Argentina back in 2019. But, you know, again, you know how things, you just never know what's going to become viral. You seriously don't. Just something strikes people and they share it. The article says, to set the record straight, no, Sanchez wasn't shouting into a void. She was actually singing a song. And that explains her arm gesturing off into the horizon. But as happens too often, Sanchez was unsuspectingly caught in the background of someone else's photo. A couple of months later, the photo's actual subject loaded to Twitter and said, put up a caption like, when strangers mess up your photos. But it has since been used so often, and you have to use it in all caps. So, of course, at Up North News, we had to use it. So we put out a tweet last week where she is yelling into the ear of her ex-boyfriend. It's not that he lives in Connecticut, just that he has a mansion there and a penthouse in Manhattan. And he probably couldn't win an election in Connecticut, but he tells the IRS he lives here 183 days a year. So it's good enough to be able to run for governor in Wisconsin. Don't you think? Do I have to explain that again? I thought that was a pretty good use of it.
Yeah, and you fit in everything in those 280 characters. You use them to the full extent, and it was perfect.
Yeah, and many people have. I mean, it's been good for many a laugh, and you know, God bless Denise Sanchez for willing to go along. So yes, then there's been these variations on it. Anytime you can see like two people where one's animated and talking to the other person, or in this case, the side profiles of Tim Michaels and Congressman Glenn Grothman at some dinner someplace. And I don't have an example in front of me, but there's been some great captions on that as well.
Yeah, mine for, I tweeted it out under Devil Radio 92.7's Twitter page, so you can go follow Devil Radio there. But I essentially put it out saying, my mom's meatloaf's great. You should come and stay over sometime, but I know that's kind of a heck of a commute from Connecticut. So, we can maybe work it out. You could spend the night. My mom's meatloaf's nice. Great.
Nice, nice. Got Connecticut in there, and mom the meatloaf. Always good to throw in a pop culture reference as well. Let's take a break and be back after this. You're up north. Baby, I can see.